Well, good morning, afternoon, everybody. It does look like we have Houston. We have contact. So, levels are there. Welcome to the Hour of Truth. And we have Philip Walthall here on my right. I'm Paul Muller, and the Georgia contingent is out of service this morning. So, 10-7, as it were. So what do you think, buddy? The coincidence that Steve dealt with, from what I heard of his service, he went through many of the same scriptures that we went through. So, and it wasn't identical, nor did we discuss it beforehand, but...
Well, there's a lot there. I mean, I could just relate to Steve. I mean, those that heard it align in the sense of that, just that place of, oh my God, like he was talking about dealing with, as a lawyer and loving of people. Can't I just be around people that are, I can relate to all those things in that sense. And it is one of those places where it's like, man, I hit situation after situation. I know in my walk where I'm like, I have no flipping idea. I have no flipping idea how to deal with this or how to go about doing this. But then yet you pray, you lift these things up. You know how you are. You know, I mean, I think I was even sharing with you Thursday night that, man, this is absolutely, let me put it this, in this situation, I'm absolutely the last person that should be in this situation to stand in. And yet, it's not about you or how you are. It's yet about Him. And you go and you step out in Him and in love. And you put off anything else. You're talking about putting off anger, malice, wrath, all those things. You put off those things. No matter what they've done to you, no matter what the case may be, and that way you give that answer that the Lord has for you.
And yeah, you know, the thing is, we have examples over us in the ministry of people that have, when ministering to us, done the same thing.
Amen.
And they have exemplified the, you know, you're going to make me have to go back there and look at it. So I don't trust my head.
And, you know,
forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Bowels put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. You know, why is that something you have to choose to put on there for?
Because
it's going to come natural.
Exactly.
We're jerks, man. We're selfish, and we're out for number one.
And we want to handle the things. We want to handle. We want to handle our things completely opposite or contrary to that.
That's right.
I mean, even when you talk about loving one another, I mean, just that point of just, man, bringing. I mean, the last thing I do, I tell you what, like when I go and confront somebody or anything like that, as far as like as work or anything like that, that's the last thing I want to do. It's the last thing I want to do. I mean, I know Steve was talking about, but now go, had a great Bible study there on Saturday, and David goes, go tell so-and-so this. Man, it's like, oh my goodness, it's a simple thing. But it is a place of love. So, you know, if Steve loved them, he had to prefer the Lord and loving them and preferring them over himself in that situation.
Yep.
And for their sake and for others as well. And that's a place where you continually stand. And you can't stand in that in your natural man. You can't do that with your natural man. You can only do that in the Lord.
That's correct.
And by putting on his body and being in his body and having his mind.
It's ultimately, there's no excuse. This has been done before. We've seen people who've done it. We saw Paul do it. We saw Jesus do it. And, you know, that's what we're supposed to be in training to do, is to do it like he did it.
Then we have others that have done it that are here now living. Mm-hmm. I mean, Christ is alive, amen. But we have others there. And that kind of brings some of the point I was looking at. You know, I was kind of reading through Numbers in chapter 16. And I was reading through humbleness of mind. You know, and I kind of went through, you know, where Jesus, where he's talking about in Matthew, where Jesus is talking about, and whosoever will humble themselves like this little child. And let me just pull it up, because I... sound like I'm butchering it here. Excuse me. Yeah, got the.
Wow. I have an immense capacity to misspell things. As I try to type.
Yeah, I apologize. It's an 18:3. And, you know, I was kind of looking through Scripture this morning and reading about. This is one of the things that kind of jumped out on me. And it says, in 18, I'll start verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. And it was an interesting thing when I was in Vermont that we were talking about kids and how they are like sponges and learning. And adults are not the same in that sense. And unless we humble ourselves and want to know the Lord and receive it as the Word of God and as truth, and none of the doubts, none of those things swayed you from that, you will receive. And the things that we receive, I mean, a lot of times they come through they'll come through another minister's mouth from one of the Lord's messengers. And here it is where the Lord has laid it out. You look at the apostles, I mean, they were considered angels, which is what? Messenger of God's grace. And here where we, you know, you can read in John where if they reject you, it's because they reject me. And here has the Lord has put out everything we need to go forward in him. And yet, if we humble ourselves, we can receive those. If we humble ourselves like as little children, we can receive those things and grow and be that sponge. And learn from them. But if we reject and don't humble ourselves, where it says, God resisteth the proud but giveth grace unto the humble, we are actually turning off his grace. We're turning away his hand. I mean, even to the point if, man, somebody's wrong. If that person that was over you was wrong at something, the Lord will still honor the obedience of it, or the Lord will show them something that they were wrong in that. You know, and praise God, praise the Lord.
From the psalm you love, I mean, David had presumptively, he could have justified himself and nobody in the kingdom thought one way or the other about it. I mean, he wasn't scared of the people. He was feared the Lord.
Oh, amen.
And when Nathan came to him and he said, thou art the man, David's heart broke. And he became humbled. Get on his knees before the Lord. And mm-hmm. That's a way to get God's attention. And he will move mightily. However, we try everything in the book, every trick in the book to avoid those circumstances.
Or to justify ourselves. I mean, I just spend a little time with one another and listen to yourself. I mean, sometimes you're justifying yourself before you're even being held to account for anything. And it's one of those things where, I mean, look, you look at the love. And the love of Christ, where you can see Moses, where the Lord sent Moses, and going back to the children of Israel, where the Lord sent Moses. As a messenger for the Lord's deliverance, for the Lord's promise, so that the people can inherit the Lord's promise and deliverance. They inherited the deliverance, the first generation did. They didn't inherit the promise because of unbelief. And you see what happens is what happened there. They're like, oh, praise God. They sang a song when they went over the Red Sea. You know, at the end when they went over and the Red Sea came upon the Egyptians, they sang a song and they were praising the Lord. But shortly, quickly after, they were murmuring and complaining. Are we any different? I mean, here are the messengers that are given to us around about to give us the deliverance, to give us the promise. And what happens is because of our pride and unbelief, and we lean more on our own understanding and on our carnal mind, and we lean on our pride that bellows up in us, we start judging that messenger. Just as the children of Israel did with Moses, started judging that messenger that's there for your deliverance, that's there for your, for you to inherit the promised life that he has for you, giving you that.
It spirals downward because you end up attributing evil that's in you to God, yeah. and you know, evil motives and stuff, and it's just. There's no end to that spiral down, except humility. And they didn't take that route, so they did not get the inheritance. Did not make it out of the desert.
And you know, here we're going, and here we can say, man, what idiots! We can look back, what idiots? Why didn't they look at what the Lord's done for them, and they couldn't do this? But do we do the same? You know, where are you at? We are in no different place. And what I mean by is the making that choice. I mean, we have that choice to be that first generation, which is our old man, and listen to that. Or we have that choice to take upon what the second generation took upon, which is his promise, his inheritance, and deliverance.
One of the scriptures Steve had in the chat was, and all this war, all this stuff that are choices against our nature, and their choices in order to overcome that, in order to reckon that as dead, they're choices you have to make, as we talked about in Colossians. You got to remember how you got there. And this kind of goes along with the ones, with the verses down where it talks about put on as the elect of God, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. To remember that as far as Jesus' requirements, that come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If you can choose all these things for yourself, choose His way for yourself, then that yoke is not a burden to you. But the yoke is an instrument of the exercise of authority. In other words, those oxen are in the service of the driver, of the master. But His yoke is loving, it's light, it's easy, and it has a payoff that's eternal.
Amen. Amen. And when you go into the battle, and we were talking about the battle. I mean, I know I was talking about the battle some Thursday night. Steve was talking about a battle that he has where he has no flipping idea how to, you know, Lord, forgive me, help me, and the standing up as a lawyer or a father or any of those things. And in the midst of that battle, it's one where you cast off all that worry and all that fear, and you count and you trust on Him. And that's when you cease from your own works. I mean, if you look at Hebrews, I mean, when you were talking about take my yoke upon, when you were talking about take, well, Jesus was talking about take my yoke upon me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I mean, what does it say in Hebrews? It's talking about ceasing from your own works. That's what He's ministering there. Look, what I have is far better than your own works. And you enter into His rest. Day by day. I mean, one of the simple rests that I can, you know, give you an example of is when He's preaching on the mount and he says, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow will take thought of the things of itself. I mean, that's where you just have that day to seek and serve the Lord. You have that day. What freedom. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been overwhelmed. I've been burdened down. I've been loaded down by worry and fear and stress, overwhelmedness of a lot of things that were set for me to do. And as I look at them as the big picture, I can very easily be consumed and go, there's no way, and throw my hands up in the air. But if I stick to the Word of God, just that phrase right there, that's a light lift. That is a burden that is light. That is a yoke that is easy. Because it's day by day, I trust Him. I serve Him. I do as He says. And what happens is those things that He wants to get done will get done. And praise God. It will be Him that performs these things above we can ask or think as we serve Him. And He'll give you that direction. And what He has get done, praise God. What doesn't, praise God. Because it's all about Him. What He has for us to do. And if we can just take a hold of that, and a lot of our direction comes from our disciples, ministers, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, where we can go and walk in the freedom of the gospel and grab a hold of it. And we can walk in the power of the gospel. And then it is as a unit you can go and minister to those that are without.
And a few messages regarding veil and veils. Other kinds. Let's look a little bit at Hebrews 10. Having therefore, brethren, a boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Yeah, now, why is that a new and a living way. What's different about it?
I'm still catching up with you turning. Go ahead. The new and living way?
Yeah.
Well, I was much just talking about the new and living way.
The new and living way is you don't do it. It's not about you.
Amen.
It's about what he did. And being accountable for believing that. And, you know, that's where the burden becomes light. I mean, it's an unfathomable burden to be bound up thinking you got to keep the law, knowing how you are, knowing how I am. You know, keeping the law stinks. You kind of, you know, you marvel at the way people migrate back towards the touch not, taste not, handle not, and like it's some kind of marvelous new idea that it makes you more holy than others. And it's not. It's something, a way to measure yourself against other people. And, you know, Paul says in Corinthians not to, what does he say? Comparing yourself against yourselves is not wise.
Amen. Well, I mean, you can go to the...
not the standard.
You can go to the touch not, taste not, handle not. You can go to that. But see, you know, that bondage, you know, you can say law. He was talking to the Jews, and that was the big bondage to them, that they had a hard time laying down. Us is just our own stinking flesh, because we don't try to keep the law. That's something that we don't do.
They didn't really try it either. They just were about looking like it.
But you see the law entering in, and it has a different face all over. And it's just the bondage of the flesh that... And the law, what it was, what it became, what men made the law, actually, was...
traditions.
Was traditions, was a bondage. But the purpose was, it was just to really bring you to Christ, that you need you need mercy.
To humble yourself.
You need...
You can't do it.
Amen. Amen. And then what you have... But see, now this thing that you try to uphold are all kinds of different things. You know, one of the things is just anything that becomes before the Lord. I mean, you know, you look at...
That's the same thing with, you know, really the law. Because some people got it. The tutor to lead you to Christ, that the law is. David got it. It humbled him that the performance of this was not... able to do it.
Well, what is this?
Others.
Well, what does he say in Psalm 51? In Psalm 51, he says, "In burnt sacrifices, go there,
God has not desired, right. Oh Lord,
but a broken and contrite heart." Thank you, Paulie. Thank you. And look, that's
I will not despise.
Yeah, but the face of that bondage could look so many different ways. You know, in Hebrews is talking about the law, but that face of that bondage is in so many different ways. That overwhelmness is one of them. That's one of them. The thinking that I have to do that, thinking that I have to perform all these things perfectly. No, all I have to concern with is, yes, Lord.
There's no Lord. Guarantee anywhere that you can, that you're never going to make a mistake. That's the Lord understands that. You strive to do it the best you can do it, and you know, let the Lord make up a difference. This is not a sum total game of points for and points against. In the end, it's all about, is it 100% the Lord? Is it all about Him? Have I been learning how to be obedient and to be able to stand with Him in heaven?
Do I believe Him?
Do I believe Him?
What was the biggest offense that, and the disobedience that came from the offense in the first generation was they didn't believe Him. Look at those giants. Look at those.
They didn't believe the testimony of His works either.
No, look at those giants in that land. Look at those. I, 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 I struggle. That's what part of the bondage he's trying to set me free from. I look at the job at hand, the things I'm called to do. Those are giants. I'm bigger than those giants. That's what the Lord says. Trust in me. Serve me. Don't worry about those giants. And I'm telling you, it's a lesson learning.
Moving on to the next verse. From we were by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And when our hearts are sprinkled with the what? The blood of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And, you know, washed with water is baptized into his body. So, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. That's exhorting one another. That's speaking the truth to one another.
Well, go back to the wavering.
Yeah.
Go back to the wavering for a second, because that's one part that he hit. Nothing wavering. Remember, he is faithful. Man, gosh, if it was based on my faithfulness, I'm done. If it was based on somebody else's faithfulness, I'm done. But he is faithful. He is faithful.
Yeah.
And that provoking one another to love and good works is provoking them to the loving the Lord because he's faithful. And you get those person's eyes of what manner it ever the Lord has you do it, get their eyes set back on, he is faithful.
And the good works of serving the Lord. Doing what he wants you to do.
Amen.
And, you know, he hasn't kept us in the dark about that. He's perfectly clear about, as you go forward into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Heal the sick. Raise the devil. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. It's all... it's clear what he wants you to be doing.
Freely as you receive, freely give. Gosh, I mean, and if you don't have, you think you have anything, do you have a testimony of what the Lord's done?
All right. Then the interesting next verse is, after he says, provoke one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we love one another.
And what day is that that's approaching? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, this is that training ground. Remember how I was talking earlier that we're in the same position as the children of Israel? That day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is like that day of us being able to go and stand in the promised land. I mean, that's the choice. We're going to believe him? Are we going to believe him? Not because we're good, not because we're right. No, because he's good and he paid the price that we could have that promised land. See, that day is approaching. We point people to Jesus. And you loving one another, that's the agape love. The agape love. That is where you prefer one another. No matter what it means. That means me going and telling you the truth when you don't like it. And you hate me for it. But it doesn't matter. That way you can just... Or what they doesn't care what they think of you. That way you can grab a hold on to... back unto the Lord and for that hope. That that word that Steve had to give, that was loving that person. Hard word, but that was loving that person. Why? Because that day's approaching, and that's giving that person opportunity to turn on the Lord. They might not have no idea they were going down the wrong way. I might not have any idea I'm going down the wrong way. But getting that word so I can go and head the right direction, that's love.
Yep.
That's love. It might be just some encouragement. Remember, the Lord might be down and out, man. You look hopeless. And it's somebody going, hey, remember the Lord? Terrible situation. You can minister to Jesus to that situation. Whatever the situation can be.
Absolutely. And, you know, part of his way, you know, it's worthy of the golden rule, which, of course, but doing to others as you would have them do unto you. And so similar to, in, you know, judge not lest you be judged, because in this way in which you mete it out, it's going to be meted back to you, which is there's several other examples, but the deal is you need mercy, extend mercy. You need grace, you extend grace. And the more you get exercised in doing this kind of thing, the more your flesh is getting mortified, and the more able you are to follow after the Spirit and to be successful at doing that. Because you can't hear the flesh anymore. You don't pay any attention to it anymore.
You know, you go to the that extending mercy and the grace at these, and forgiving one another we were kind of going over before. How, let me ask you a question. If you haven't forgiven somebody, if you haven't that extended that mercy with just within your own selves, with your own self, how can you give the answer of the Lord to that person?
Well, that's true. That's a practical outcome of that. But, you know, how long have I dealt with people whose understanding of forgiveness was therefore putting something on the person being forgiven? And it's not that at all. You don't forgive them because they need it. You forgive them because you need it. And the only way to get it is to give it. That's not something you do for them. That's something you do for you.
Amen. It binds you up. You can't.
Right. Now, you know, I saw so many examples. He says, "Well, I just wanted to know, brother. I forgive you," and that was not a declaration so much as putting them on. See how holy I am. See, if you were holy, you would have understood the offense, but you didn't clearly understand the offense. But I understand.
You know what I like, and also point, and this is where people with the look at the. That provoking to love and good works, that could seem like, I mean, you look at David. When David went to the trenches, and he's seen the children of Israel cowering before the Philistines, what did he say? That uncircumcised Philistines, and didn't he go around saying,
"Who is an uncircumcised Philistine to challenge the armies of the living God?"
And who do you think? I mean, the other thing was, is those people. Do you not think David was frustrated when he seen the people cowering against that Philistine? Absolutely. Now, a lot of people, "Oh, your pride, your judgment, you're this." No, David was right. And David was right in being frustrated that they would not stand in that place.
They could not see them being able defeat the Philistines or Goliath in particular.
But
and
he
David didn't see it either. David said, I'm Lord's. And
I'm just going to stand up.
I can kill him. I can do it.
Didn't matter how. And that's the thing that we got. I mean, when it comes to that place that loving good works, that was righteous of David. And why was it righteous? Because he believed on the deliverer. Where Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed God.
It's like somebody coming along and telling somebody, especially a new Christian, says, you don't understand. You can't do it like that. It was like, well, how do you know? Well, because I can't do it like that. Well, that just means you can't do it like that.
And you look at Jesus in the temple turning over the tables.
Yeah.
Was he frustrated? Yes.
Was he angry?
Yes.
Was that love? Yes.
Yes. And see, this concept that happens is he was harsh. That wasn't loving. This concept of to the natural man, that was harsh, so that's not loving. That didn't make me feel good, so that's not loving.
Right.
He was angry, so he's wrong. He was frustrated, so he was wrong.
Especially today. Holy moly, today in today's world. Yeah. You have to control yourself. You have to control your anger and control your outburst lest somebody be offended and sue you. I mean, it's crazy. It's gone whacked out.
But that's the other point where people, you know, when we take this scripture, let's keep in mind what love is. Let's keep in mind what forgiving is. Let's keep in mind it's the agape love. Not this make you feel good, you make me feel good, I make you feel good, let's talk nice to each other, why both of y'all go to hell. That's not what it's about. It says provoke one another. Provoke is a word. I'm provoking you. Is that not good? It doesn't feel good. That's not one of those words that you go provoke. I mean, so-and-so's provoking me. Is that a good action usually? In this case, yes, amen, hallelujah, it's good.
Right.
Was it not provoking when the Lord did stir up and told the people the truth and knocked over those tables? Absolutely. Was it not provoking when David came down and said, who is defying the armies of the living God? And said to the people in the trenches, what are you doing? Praise God. It's provoking when I go to work and I turn around and I tell them, get in gear, get your butt in gear, what are you doing? You're piddle farting around, you're on your phone, you're hanging out in the back, you need to get in there and work. We got 10 cars on the board. Well, he's frustrated. So, it's the truth. Let's go. That's provoking to love and good works.
I'm fixing to frustrate you.
Do you see that? Yeah. Do y'all understand? I'm about to say, see, understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that's all it gets to. I mean, that's what it takes to get people's attention. But sometimes all it takes, and this is where you seek discernment from the Lord. This is where you seek to go forward and to ministering unto others. And we have those over us that we can talk to them. It could be just a little word that the Lord loves you. Do you know the Lord loves you? Do you know the Lord loves you? And their whole word, the whole core, the whole time they couldn't been going forward is because they couldn't think that the Lord could love them.
Yeah.
But if you don't ask questions, if you don't go forward serving Him, if you don't go seeking the Lord, you won't find out what is that to minister to Him. You can just start throwing firecrackers, dude, just like all the other churches. We're called to be a peculiar people.
Everybody's always looking for a step by step. You know what? So what? In the last day when we're all being judges, and what are you supposed to say? What, you know, I was a good person, or no? You say Jesus Christ died for me, covered me with His blood, washed my sins clean. And the question is, will you believe that? Just because you've learned how to say that doesn't mean you believe it.
you do believe, how you believe that is you show that you believe it by when you become obedient. You believe his word, you're going to obey his word.
Absolutely.
You're going to believe his grace is sufficient to, for you. You're going to stand in that which he called you to stand in. King David was still king after he killed Uriah, committed adultery, and he went before the Lord, and the Lord said, you're still going to be king. You're still going to reign. Showed him the cross. He couldn't do it unless he seen the gospel, seen the mercy. And what did he stand in? He didn't stand in his righteousness, what he has done, what he had. He stood in the mercy of the Lord and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that, if we stand by any other meaning than that, we won't stand. It won't stand when that day comes at hand. It won't.
You know, and he moves able to move the hand of the Lord. The Lord extended him grace and mercy. He interceded for Israel, and the Lord stayed his hand. The Lord can be moved. He interceded for Solomon. And if these are parts of character, the character of the Lord, that getting to know him reveals. If you say you know him and you don't understand that he responds to the needs of his people. When you first made that commitment to believe God and receive the righteousness that he reckoned it to you as, then you're his. And he takes care of it. He's not that evil slave master that works until they're dead. He's about making provision for you. He's not trying to kill you doing what he wants you to do. He's trying to provide for you in doing the things he wants.
He's a loving father. He's going to give you everything you need to do his will. And what happens so many times is that we are actually, he meets us in our will to go serve him. That's what happens. And a lot of times we are about our own will or some other path. And then what happens is this thing falls through and you get stressed, you get aggravated, you go through all these things and all these things, but because you haven't really just chosen to do his thing.
So many times we find ourselves in a place where,
and you know what? That's even good that happens. You can count it all joy then, is because why? You fall into diverse temptations. You recognize, you know what, Lord? None of this has been working out. None of this has been going right. You know, or whatever the case is. I'm just in a bad place, Lord. And it might be the thing, because you walked out of his provision on those things, that you recognize that you've been after the wrong thing. You've been after serving yourself. You've been after serving your own thing, and you didn't even realize it.
Forecast your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling over what? Disobedience. You don't want to be disobedient. You don't want to displease the Lord. And you're fearful of doing that. And you got to remind yourself that even if you have screwed up, his commitment to you is, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not even your will has to be redeemed, because it isn't in you in and of yourself. It isn't. But that's our salvation, is that he will work into us to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen. But you need to go to him. Absolutely. Need to make that choice. See, that's the thing that people think. They don't fully commit. They don't fully choose. And then when this thing falls apart, he meets you at, you know, I remember talking with Steve, he meets you at your will to choose him. What does it say? Those that wait upon the Lord, they will renew his strength. They shall mount up like eagles. Those that serve him. See, if you're about serving yourself, and why do you think that you're going to get this? The Lord loves you. Why do you think he's just going to give you all these things to do your own thing? To go to hell for? That's not the loving Father.
When are you gonna start mortifying your members? You know, I'm waiting on the Lord.
No, that's not
how it works. Yeah, that's not how it works. And like, it's him that works in your will and do his good pleasure. That strength that comes, that will that comes, that things, is when you actually choose him.
Right.
And if you look at that, I want to actually look at Colossians there. Where are you at in Colossians?
Three.
Because you say, put off the old man. It talks about mortify. These are choices you make. He meets us in those mortifications. Right. He meets us with the strength to overcome. He meets us when we choose to put on bowels of mercy, even when it goes against everything in you. He meets us there.
That's right. I was on 5:3-5.
Oh, Corinthians. That would be the reason why.
3:8. 3:9. All choices that you make. And when you decide to do it his way, that his way is the way that works. It's the only way he recognizes. He described himself in Exodus 20 as being a jealous God. He's jealous for his people to understand that the tagline to Jesus is, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Is that, and his he is the way and his way is the way. And this is his way. That does it.
You know, it's that, you know, you're actually, what I was asking about was Philippians 2.
Oh.
And what you were saying, and the for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, for that says working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and you have where it says put off the old man. Look.
It should scare the ever-loving snot out of you.
It's about you choose him to put this off. You wrestle that down. You make it the most important thing to do. He will give you the will. He will give you the strength to go forward in what he has for you to do. Mm-hmm. Cause it's about his plan. We get on his plan.
Right.
Whatever that looks like. Because we expect, I mean, what does Paul say when he says, and if we, you know, if this be not true or some other lines, then we be men most miserable? 1 Corinthians 15.
There is no resurrection, and we are of most to be pitied. Yeah. We believe the lie.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, we believe the lie. We've been putting off, though, but we haven't been going out living in going out and giving to the flesh at every turn, at every sight. But what happened, which let me tell you, is just a dead end road in a natural life altogether. I mean, that as far as my experience goes. But
I think it goes on to say, then eat, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Yeah. But the point is, be men most miserable. I mean, look at Paul. Shipwrecked, stoned, all these things. If he sat there and believed something that was a lie. But no, he's got a better inheritance. Doesn't love this life. He loves that life which is now in the kingdom of God, and that life to come in the kingdom of heaven. And that's what he loves. That's what he prefers. And this old natural life just doesn't matter.
Well, got some dead air going here, and I can't find it.
What you looking for? 1 Corinthians 15.
If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So for since man by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. It's, you know, it's not enough to only have hope in Christ. You have to have an expectation of delivery that his word is true. If you don't believe him, you're miserable.
Amen.
You cannot please God. You can flail around your entire life and never hit the mark. Go back a couple of verses. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. And yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ not raised, your faith is in vain, and you're yet in your sins. And, you know, you can pull that out of context and say, well, see, there's all a bunch of hooey. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying that you've both seen our message and our ministry, and you've seen the power of God. It's about Jesus. This gospel is true. An outcome of your unbelief takes you down this road where if the dead be not raised, and Christ, then also they which have fallen asleep in Christ, they perish. And in this life only, we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. And that's what I get from memorizing that verse. I have to try and catalog my memories, because the first version I was in was New American Standard. And I quoted that verse, I guess, with that memorized verse. But the King James says it slightly different, and I accept the King James rendering of it. We are of all men most miserable, because there's more than hope. Much more than hope. It is the proof of God's commitment to Jesus Christ's ministry and the work that he did, and his that it satisfied the terms, and his approval, stamp of approval, is on it. So those are important things. not just hope. Oh my goodness, look at the time. Anything else you want to put in there?
Just say it's all about Him, His grace, His mercy.
That's
and
right.
All of us, any of us, have the opportunity to stand and walk into that. Not a respecter of persons, and praise God for it. Because we have that gospel ready to available to us. And that promise is available to us. Just need to reach out and grab it.
Gil,
hands out.
Gil and Scott put something in the chat about being His means giving your life over to Him of our own free will, putting on the mind of Christ, that is, He's the head. Matter of His body, that is us. Our lives become His. And so He lives here, continuing to bring the good news of God to those who are without it. You know, and that's, you know, part of, you know, what we were saying here in our service, which was, you know, you turn your life over to the Lord, it's His now, not yours anymore. And that's what you're saying, what they're saying there, and that's absolutely true. We no longer captain of our own ship, ruler of our own life. We gave that life back to Him. He's the King of it now. Hallelujah. Well, that's, we sure hope so. That's a willful choice that you make and a commitment that you make to learn from Him. You know, that commitment that God made to Moses. I'll teach you my ways. You've seen my power. Will you learn my ways? That was what the Lord asked him. Say, you know, yeah, sure. And he did. But it didn't work out all that well for the people he was leading. But
that was by their choice.
That was by their choice.
And that's
not because he wasn't obedient.
And that's the thing that, you know, as a minister, if you're standing in that place, and by their choice people don't receive that ministry that's there for them, you can't get hung up about it. You just got to move on with the Lord right in front of you.
Man.
That's what Moses did. I'm telling you, it might have been harder. Might have been harder for when it was Moses, where they didn't receive until, for it was Joshua, even though Joshua was there. With Joshua, they received, they moved on, they went for it.
All right, friends, we're out of here. And join us again next week.